The Book Nook on WISO is made possible by 6 local library systems in Southwest Ohio: the Greene County Public Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, Midpoint Library System, Clark County Public Library, the Dayton Metro Library, and the Wright Memorial Public Library.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WISO. I'm Vic McCunis, and today my guest is a guy I've been wanting to talk to for a number of years because I've been waiting for this new novel by Donald Ray Pollock to come out, and it'll be out next week. It's called The Heavenly Table, and Don joins us by telephone from Chillicothe. Welcome back, Don.
Hey, thanks for having me, Vic.
Man, Don, I'm telling you, this was worth the wait.
Well, I hope so. It was a long wait, that's for sure. I got a little sidetracked after the second book came out, and I worked on a house for a while, and then it just got a little easier and easier not to go to the desk. And then finally, after, I don't know, it was probably 18 months or so, I realized that I needed to get back to work. So I learned a lesson from that, though. It's not good to stop.
Yeah. Well, you had moved. You were working on that new house, and you used to write up in the attic or something, didn't you? And now you got like a little place out in the yard, out in the garden.
Yeah, I've got an old shed that it was a garden shed, and I converted it into a little office.
Well, it takes a while to make that adjustment, doesn't it?
Yeah. Moving is very hard for me. So, mm-hmm. I sort of like working, I'm not really good at working on a house or, carpentry or anything like that, but I kind of enjoy trying it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, it wasn't a chore. I sort of like doing it.
Well, we've had you on the show for your other books, and I'm always excited to talk to you because I just love your work. And the first time we had you on was for your first book, your collection of stories, Knock 'em Stiff. And then we had you on for your novel, The Devil All the Time. And I remember when we talked about The Devil All the Time that you said that was tough, making the adjustment from short stories to a novel and making it all work and feeling comfortable with it. And this new book, The Heavenly Table, I have to get the feeling maybe you were a little bit more comfortable. It seems like it went a little smoother for you. Now, am I completely off on that?
Well, it's never smooth, not for me anyway. I think probably I had a little more confidence with, the first novel. I really, for a long time, didn't think I could do it. I just didn't think I could fill up that many pages with a story. And so eventually, it happened, and then the book did, okay. And I probably, have a little more confidence than I used to anyway.
Mm.
But writing is, it's tough every day for me.
Yeah. Well, for the reader, that pays off for us because we can feel how much you put into it. And in this new one, The Heavenly Table, you have a lot of characters here, but the three main ones are brothers. Tell us about these guys.
Well, the Jouett brothers are, they're poor sharecroppers living in Georgia with their father, Pearl. And they don't have anything. I mean, they are actually dirt poor. They do have this trashy dime novel that the oldest one can read called The Life and Times of Bloody Bill Bucket. And he reads to his brothers from this book almost every night. And after their father dies, they get the idea that they're going to, well, I guess they're inspired by this dime novel to, cut away from the farm and try to make it as criminals.
Uh-huh.
So they head north, and they eventually end in southern Ohio, which is where all my stuff ends up. And, yeah, you know, that's pretty much it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff happens along the way, of course, but...
Uh-huh. Well, these brothers, by the end of the book, as a reader, it was impossible for me not to love all three of them for totally different reasons. Let's talk about how different these guys are, and tell us their names.
Well, the oldest brother is Kane, and he's... would I be, I guess, considered the smart one. And then there is, the middle one is Cobb, and he's the sort of slow one. And then the youngest is Chimney, who's got a short fuse, and you know, it becomes fairly violent, you know, as mm-hmm. the book goes along.
Mm-hmm.
But Kane pretty much, you know, is the boss. So, you know, they're all different, of course. And, you know, there's a, you know, all that friction going on. But I really don't know what else to, you know, say in a short time about it, but
sure.
about them. But
well, we know as readers, if we're familiar with your earlier work, that these other characters that you're introducing, particularly the Fiddler family that we're reading about in alternating chapters early on, we know that the Jouettes and the Fiddlers are going to meet sometime down the road. And we're just waiting for that. It just inexorably, that they're just slowly drifting together. Let's talk about the Fiddlers. Who are these people?
The Fiddlers are, well, there's Ellsworth, his wife Eula, and their son Eddie. And Ellsworth is a farmer out beyond Nipshin, which is a real place here near where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's, of course, he's also poor. He's been scammed out of his life savings recently, and his boy, Eddie, has disappeared. You know, the story is set during 1917, after the United States entered the First World War. And here in Chillicothe, where I live, the government actually built an army camp called Camp Sherman
mm-hmm.
on the edge of town to train soldiers. And that's where I got, you know, quite a bit of my inspiration for what happens later. Anyway, Eddie disappears, and Ellsworth thinks that he has gone to Chillicothe, which I call Meade.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks he's going there to join the service. By some sort of mistake, he is led to believe that that's what's happened. And so he goes back home and thinking that Eddie's in the Army now, which really he isn't, you know, on and on. But when the Jouettes and the Fiddlers meet, I guess you could say they both need help.
Mm-hmm.
And they sort of help each other out, you know, almost, well, unknowingly, because Ellsworth doesn't know that, at least at first, that they're criminals. But I don't know. It's there's a lot of stuff that happens in this book, and it's a little hard to explain at times.
Sure.
But,
sure.
Well,
Don,
I hope that it's clear for the reader. That's
well,
all.
Well, it is. The book is The Heavenly Table. It's Donald Ray Pollock's new novel. It's coming out next week. And Don is going to be on book tour, and I'll give you some information about that coming up on the program. Don, I got to say, though, this is the funniest book you've written. I laughed and laughed and laughed. I was up late last night finishing it, and I kept finding myself just convulsing in my chair, because you have this incredibly dry humor. And it's really violent. There's a lot of violent stuff that goes on, but it's hilarious.
I'm glad to hear you say that. yeah, I was aiming for some humor in this one. You know, I sort of started it with this idea of, I guess, writing a, what you, maybe you'd call a yarn.
Uh-huh.
And most yarns have a lot of humor in them. And, you know, so I kept, you know, every once in a while trying to make, you know, parts of the book a little humorous anyway, because my stuff is, as you say, it's violent and sometimes bleak.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives the reader a break, I guess. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, you have,
and I like books like that myself. I like books that have some humor in them.
You really create a lot of memorable scenes where, after reading the book, I can just picture some scene that you've created. Well, for example, when they're on the run, they're fugitives, and they're heading north, and that airplane comes over them. I keep seeing that scene over and over again, and how that plays out, and it's shocking, and yet it's so funny.
You know, part of the book, I guess, deals with, you know, it's 1917, and now we've got airplanes and automobiles, and, you know, there are, you know, a few people have they're talking about telephones and stuff like that. And most of the people that I'm writing about are having a hard time dealing with all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
With change.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I had to have an airplane in there somewhere, so.
Well, you mentioned a little while ago that your fictional town, Meade, is based on Chillicothe, the town where mm-hmm. you've lived all these years. And you worked at the paper mill there for many years. And the paper mill in Meade, as it's referred to frequently throughout the book, it almost seems like the axis of evil.
You mean the paper mill?
Yeah.
No, I try, you know, it might come off that way, but, you know, the reason that I always have called Chillicothe Meade in my fiction is, well, I really didn't want to call it Chillicothe because, for one thing, people outside of this area have such a hard time pronouncing it.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't want to be, I guess, stuck with dealing with, you know, all the geographical facts and all the history of the town and stuff like that. So I changed it to Meade, mostly because, you know, for a lot of years, up until at least probably into the late 70s, the Meade had such a huge impact mm. on this town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was, you know, it was the place to work. You know, if you could get a job at the paper mill, you were in pretty good shape. And, you know, and like you say, I worked there for a long time, and I just, you know, when I was trying to think of an alternative name for the here where I live, I figured it had to be Meade.
Uh-huh. Well, you have a number of, I guess, tribute quotes in here, just words. Like there's a mention of Yellow Springs, there's a mention of Springfield, there's a mention of Dayton, of Columbus, mm-hmm. and we even get the word Knock 'em Stiff. I think it's moonshine, isn't it?
Right.
I thought that was appropriate.
Well, you know, I've had a lot of people ask me, you know, how that place got its name. And I don't think anybody really knows for sure, but the most reasonable answer seems to be that it came from a slang word for or term for moonshine.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was putting all those other names in there, so I decided, well, at least I'll have a little mention of Nockum Stiff in this book. Mm-hmm. But
the book is The Heavenly Table. Donald Ray Pollock joins us. I think they did a really fine job on this cover. There's a picture of a table setting. There's a plate and some silverware. And then on the plate, there's a pistol and there's some blood. And then there's this white feather. And I think the white bird is the finest creation in your whole story. I love the white bird.
I do too. they did a great job with the cover. I mean, it was the first, we usually, my agent and I take a look at a couple of them, and sort of decide between the two or whatever, but they just sent this first one and I knew, this is it. The white bird, I knew that I wanted to bring the hermit and the white bird back into the book, but I had a heck of a time figuring out how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I came up with something. But, for me, the hermit and what he tells Pearl about the heavenly table and, all that stuff, he sort of represents not really religion so much or Christianity, which is, what he's kind of talking about, but just hope.
Mm-hmm.
Because these people are hopeless and, he gives them something to look forward to.
It's a beautiful, beautiful concept, yeah. Well, I think my favorite scene, if I had to pick one favorite scene, is when the hermit is in the water and his beard is getting wet. And I'll leave that to readers. Just the way you describe that, Don, is so beautiful. That just made me smile.
Thank you.
Yeah. The book is The Heavenly Table. Donald Ray Pollock wrote it, and he's going to be heading out on book tour this coming week on Tuesday. He'll be at Joseph Beth in Cincinnati. You can check with Joseph Beth to find out the time on that one. On Wednesday, he'll be at the Book Loft in Columbus, July 13th. Once again, in the evening, you can check with them on the time. Then he'll be making a swing through our area. He'll be in Books and Company Thursday in Beaver Creek, July 14th at 7 o'clock. And he's returning to Blue Jacket Books, where he had a really nice signing for his last book when it came out in paperback. And that's at Blue Jacket Books in Xenia, Saturday, July 16th, 1 to 4 o'clock. Don will be there. You can meet him if you're in the area. And Don will be reading from the book. Have you decided what kind of stuff you're going to read yet?
Probably what I'll do is just try to sort of test out several chapters, that first week or so. And then, after I do the events you mentioned in Ohio, then I go down south for 4 or 5 days. And then the week after that, I go out west and I hit, I think, 3 cities out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I will maybe read, I might read the first chapter where Pearl meets that hermit.
Okay.
I'm not sure yet, but
You'll work it out.
I want to try to make it one of the lighter chapters,
mm-hmm.
which is, so I don't scare people off.
Donald Ray Pollock joins us. His new novel is The Heavenly Table. And for those of you who read his first novel, the previous book, The Devil All the Time, you are familiar with his characters who were serial killers. And I had to chuckle, Don, as I was reading The Heavenly Table, because by golly, you have a serial killer in this one. He's kind of
yes,
hidden away, but
I'm a little fascinated with those guys.
Yeah, this guy is a bad dude. Mm,
yeah.
Man, there's nothing likable about him. What's his problem? Was he damaged as a kid?
I'm assuming that's what happened.
And you also have a character in here who's a military officer, and he provides some kind of side entertainment in this story. He's kind of an odd part of the story. I was trying to figure out how you were going to make him work, and he does work, but it's very odd. His sections, when we read them, the things he's into and his fantasies. I mean, this guy, he wants to go to the war really badly, but for all the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, I don't know really how I came up with Lieutenant Bovard.
Uh-huh.
I do know that I got his last name from the cemetery where I walked my dog, and other than that, I can't really tell you anything.
Yeah.
It just, you know, it's sometimes really hard to explain, I guess, the creative process or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, he just sort of appeared, and I kept messing with him, and, you know, and then I made a decision to keep him in the book, and so then I had to figure out some way to relate him to the, you know, overall story at least a little bit, you know, in the end. And, you know, and that was a little tough to do, too, just like with the bird and the hermit. But
yeah. Were you walking your dog?
But I did enjoy working with him.
Were you walking your dog Barney?
No, actually, Barney, yeah, I was walking Barney when, at that time, and then Barney passed. Actually, Barney passed about the time that my agent sold the book. And, but, yeah, he was my best friend.
Best dog ever, right?
What's that?
He was the best dog ever, wasn't he?
He was the best dog ever. I managed to get that in the book.
Uh-huh.
So,
what kind of a dog was he? Was he a mutt?
He was a beagle.
A beagle. Mm.
Yeah. And he was sort of a, I had, guess you could say I rescued him. And, you know, I really didn't have him that long. I've always had dogs. And I had him 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And so, funny story. It nearly killed me when he died. And only somebody who's a dog lover, I guess, is going to understand that. But I was really hurting. And about a month later, a woman called me up. I had known her husband, and her husband had passed away the previous summer. And she said that she had Kent's dog, and would I like to take a look at him because she worked all the time and she couldn't take care of him. So I've got another dog. He's a beagle mix, and his name is Emmett Kelly.
All right.
Yeah.
That's great.
And he's a great dog.
Great. Donald Ray Pollock joins me. His new novel is just coming out. It's called The Heavenly Table. And I was looking at your website, Don, and I was pleased to see that in the month of May, you were over in France. Were you over there getting your awards for The Devil All the Time?
No, that was a while back. I was over in France this time for a book festival. And then, you know, for some strange reason, I've done really well in France. And my publisher over there, Alba Michel, has been fantastic to me. And so, you know, they invited me to come over to this festival. Then with the new book, I go back to France around the end of September. That's when it comes out over there. So, yeah, I mean, part of the success of the, you know, my stuff in France has been those awards that I managed to get.
Yes, you got the Grand Prix de Littérature Policière and also the Prix Mystère de la Critique for The Devil All the Time. What is it about the French? They really like this dark noir stuff, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And I can't really explain it. The only thing that I guess I can say is that, they're the ones that sort of gave Faulkner his comeback, and I think they're just a little more interested in what's happening in the middle of the country instead of, you know, on the either coast. They really like that stuff, and they really love crime fiction. I mean, they have a number of big festivals over there that are mostly just for crime novels or crime fiction.
Was your trip to France this spring your first time there?
No, I've been there. I've been there a number of times now over the last 4 years or so.
Wow. They love you.
Probably part of the reason that it took me so long to write this book, because I'm not a good traveler. I pretty much quit writing, 4 or 5 days before I make the trip, and then I'm not writing at all while I'm traveling. And then I get home, and it takes me a couple more weeks to get back into the rhythm. But my wife is retired now, and she is the complete opposite of me. She loves to travel. And so I've taken advantage of that, those invitations. And I got to go over there a number of times.
Well, they're just going to have to drag you over there every time, but I'm sure you have fun once you're there.
It is, it's funny because I live here in Chillicothe. I'm like a lot of writers. I don't get out much when I'm at home. I work and I read and I walk my dog, take care of the yard, stuff like that. So I'm not around a lot of people, not around a lot of other writers or, social events or anything. So, yeah, when I do get out, it's fun. It's a release, I guess, from just being sort of focused on a book or something. You're just having fun. And it's really the only time I'm ever around any other writers is when I go out and read or, do an event or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am so pleased that this book finally came out. It's The Heavenly Table. Donald Ray Pollack wrote it. It's coming out next week, and you can meet him if you're in Cincinnati this coming Tuesday, the 12th of July. He'll be at Joseph Beth Booksellers that evening. On Wednesday evening, the 13th of July, he'll be at the Book Loft in Columbus. On Thursday, he'll be at Books and Company in Beaver Creek at 7 o'clock. And then on Saturday, he'll be at Blue Jacket Books in Xenia from 1 until 4 o'clock. And Don, I just love this book, and I'm so happy that it's finally here and that we can enjoy it.
Vic, thanks a lot. That means a lot to me coming from you.
Well, it's just really, really a great read.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. You've been listening to the Book Nook on WYSO. The book is The Heavenly Table by Donald Ray Pollack. For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis.